Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are now in part four of our five-part series talking with the individual Tuolumne County supervisors. On earlier shows, we spoke with supervisors Carl Rotifer, Sherry Brennan, and Ryan Campbell. This weekend, we're joined by Supervisor Anaya Kirk. Next week, we'll be joined by Supervisor John Gray. Supervisor Kirk, next thing I want to ask you about is this past Tuesday, the Tuolumne County finalized the budget for the fiscal year that runs through this coming next June. So what are your thoughts on the spending plan that's in place right now?
Lots of thoughts. I think what I experienced for this budget, you know, because this is my second one as a supervisor, is there was kind of a lot of uncertainty with COVID hitting and with just the uncertainty and with CARES Act funding. For me personally, it kind of felt more like I was shooting a little bit more in the dark. As we all know, we ended up getting a lot more funds than we expected. TOT was up. You know, last year we were on record-breaking streaks to receive TOT, and I mean everything was looking golden, and then COVID hit. So it was kind of sit down and go for a ride type budget. But at the end of it, you know, we did balance the budget. There were cuts across the board. There were lots of positions that we froze. I think for me moving forward, what I was hoping to do this year for the budget was put a lot more in reserves. I think we got about $2.8 million. I'd really like to get up to the 5% mark. I'd like to have closer to $8 million in reserves like some of our surrounding counterparts. I think some good things that we did, it's not like a very sexy issue, but when you're talking about maintenance, for me, I'm kind of don't really want to build any more things, don't want to add to the problem. I'd rather just maintain what we have and be good stewards of what we have. And so with some of our building maintenance plans, we did that. I do know there were some cuts to library. You know, it's when it comes to the libraries, I have my personal beliefs, and I've made them very public, you know, but my wife's a school teacher, and I've heard from lots of the constituents, and a lot of people consider the libraries really a gem to their local communities. So I've kind of put my personal ideas and thoughts aside when it comes to libraries and really taken on what the constituents have relayed to me. And so I'm going to continue to fight to keep libraries. I'm going to continue to fight specifically, you know, it looks like Tuolumne Library is going to come back on board here in a few months. And then at mid-year, we're going to talk about Tween Heart. Our board did approve to fund the rental agreement for the Tween Heart Library to the end of the year. But to me, if we can't fund some fundamental basic, plans such as the library, then it's hard for me to understand what we're really doing moving forward. Obviously, public safety is the number one concern to me. But if we can't be funding libraries, then I think we have some things wrong in the long term. So I'm going to be pushing hard to make sure Tuolumne stays open.
I also want to ask you about the transient occupancy tax. That came before the supervisors a while back, and you were the lone no vote to send that issue to the ballot in November. Can you explain your reasoning on that issue?
Yeah, so when we had that board meeting several months ago, the point of that board meeting was to discuss fire funding. I have a graph that sits next to my desk, and it clearly shows time and time again that people want money, and they want resources put towards fire, which our board has done a lot of, more than any other board in history, and also roads. But last year we did the sales tax, we did the TOT, and both of them failed. A few months ago we came together as a board to discuss fire funding, and the conversation turned into another TOT conversation. So my frustration was, we need to do something about fire. Fire is our number one issue. It's our number one concern as far as constituents go. And again, I'm not taking away from the fact that we haven't done things towards fire. We've put more money towards fire than any other board. We've bought in a fire engine. But for me, it was a golden opportunity to, again, go after a specific fire fund. I don't like taxes. I don't like any sort of parcel fees. But if we're going to be honest, if we're going to look at the future of fire funding for our county, we have to take responsibility and understand that there's just not enough resources to make that happen. So I wanted to go after fire funding. It turned into TOT, and I just think we're repeating the same the same conversation that we had last year. I don't believe it's going to pass, and I think with TOT not passing, we just gave up another opportunity to have a serious attempt to fix fire funding. So, and then for me, it's a lose-lose no matter what for next year, because if TOT doesn't pass, then we lost out on this opportunity for fire funding. If TOT does pass, then nobody's going to want to have a conversation this spring about fire funding, because they're going to say, oh, you just passed the TOT, why are you back asking for more? And I can't give an honest answer, because I can't promise that any money that comes in to the general revenues will be directed specifically towards one cause, because it's a general revenue. Whereas the fire fund would be specifically and only for fire funding. So hopefully that makes it clear why I wasn't for TOT. Would I love to have more money? Absolutely. Would anybody in government love to have more money? Absolutely. We could do more with more money, but the reality of it is people are tired of taxes, they're tax weary. This COVID economy is completely decimated businesses, and Gavin Newsom came out on August 28th and said that we're not going to return to a green. On that care monitor, he said we're not going to return to a green. And if people are paying attention, what that means is every business moving forward will only have 50% capacity. So when we're talking about taxes, when we're talking about revenues, I don't understand how anybody's going to be able to support that idea moving forward right now.
I know in the past you've kind of discussed looking at the issue of creating possibly a committee to look at COVID-19 related issues with local physicians or doctors and whatnot. Is that kind of on the back burner right now?
Well, I brought it before the board twice, and unfortunately, the board didn't like the idea. So is it on the back burner? Yeah, as far as the public ad hoc committee, it is. But behind the scenes, I still am meeting with some local doctors, nurses, family counselors, just so I can be educated more on what's going on locally. There's so much information out there, BJ. You've probably seen some of my blogs. And if you want to justify any reason you want, for any political reason or any reason in general, you can find it on the internet. But what I really want to do is find out locally what's happening right here in our backyard. So I am still meeting with those folks. And at the state, I think what's good about some of the pushing that we've been doing on our board is, even though we don't have this committee, we are in conversations with CSAC and RCRC, and we've been invited to some meetings with Dr. Gallet, which is the Health and Human Services Director for California. And so there's been two meetings, and we're telling him, hey, look, these rural counties, we're not like LA. You get one or two positive cases, it could push us from the yellow tier to the orange tier. Whereas LA, you could get a couple thousand and it would barely turn the needle. So I'm really just pushing for local control, and that's what I'm pushing for locally, is local control, and let our local professionals, instead of us just being bean counters and having to send information to the state, let us look at the data locally, let our professionals do the right thing on behalf of our community and not just be sending information up to the state.
Another issue in the community that's been divisive at times in recent years has been the juvenile hall, and I know you've been critical at points about the future looking ahead. You know, with the revised plan that's now in place, how are you feeling about the juvenile hall facility?
My stance has not changed on the juvenile hall since I was door knocking two and a half years ago to today. I don't think it was a wise purchase or a wise build. I don't think it was sustainable. I still think the numbers are a little skewed, and I think that if we did a warm closure and we utilize it for something else, I think it would force either the state to take more action or the region around us to regionalize and make it more cost effective. So I've been that lone vote for a couple years, and I have my reasons, and I always make them public at those board meetings. However, with that being said, our Chief Hawks, he's a new chief at probation. He's worked really hard, and I give him due credit. And again, this juvenile hall, this is not a probation issue. This is a board issue. We take responsibility for that hall. So Chief Hawks has done a great job of really pushing to get contracts, to get some things in place. We did just recently get three contracts with Amador, Calaveras, and Mariposa. So the cost for them to place their juveniles in our facility, they are going up, and it's going to help offset some of the costs for us to operate it. So, you know, if I can't do exactly what I want to do as an individual, I'm glad that as a board we've been able to work with Chief Hawks, and Chief Hawks has worked really hard to at least make it more efficient. So.
Need to take one more break. Talking with Supervisor Anaya Kirk on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment coming up in just a minute.